call to order? Do we...
Lauren can get in.
I can do a roll call. I'm ready.
Okay, thank you.
Francois Abadie.
Present.
Olivia Branch.
Here.
Andrea Copeland. Russ Cromberg.
Here.
Athena Eastwood. Chris Engel.
Here.
Emily Kilroy.
Here.
Eve Lupisto Kirk.
Here.
Jennifer Lyon.
Here.
Jip Palakalong.
Here.
Danny Shea.
Here.
Amber Smith. Brad Yule.
Here.
Juan Diego Wade. And Darcy Beacon.
Here.
Okay. And next we have election of officers. So, yes, ma'am. So, is Lauren handled that, or you handle that?
Lauren, do you want to handle that? Are you able to go through that, or is that something that, B should be?
I think that B should handle that, if that's okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So, just propose the same slate that we have right now.
Do you want me to propose it?
It's not appropriate for me to propose it.
Well, is it appropriate for me to?
I don't know. Or you can phone a friend.
Okay, it is. Okay. Okay, Chris Engel is my friend. Now, I propose the same slate that we currently have.
For chair and vice chair.
For chair and vice chair. Chair, vice chair, who work closely together.
Second.
Super. All in favor? Oh, do we need a roll call, Lauren? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? So moved.
Well, oh, wait. Oh.
Too late.
Too late.
Too late.
I'm sleeping.
Yeah. You snooze, you lose. Established meeting schedule.
So our current meeting schedule is the fourth Monday of the month from 2 to 4, except for December, when we end up moving it back a week because to the third week in December from 2 to 4 because of Christmas. We have noticed in the past couple of years that the city council always has a meeting during that time, so the city councilor has to leave early. So we were going to propose some kind of a change or adjustment during, either for the whole year or for that meeting specifically, moving it back.
What about the first Tuesday or Monday in December? I'm just throwing ideas out.
It would be the same conflict with the city council.
Okay. It would need to be the second Tuesday.
Or second Tuesday?
And it would still be from 2 to 4.
Well, we talked about moving it up an hour, right?
We did.
To 1 to 3 instead of 2 to 4, because I think a couple people have different conflicts later in the afternoon.
Are you talking about for December?
Or are we talking about all meetings?
We talked about a couple of different options, so wanted to propose.
If anybody had.
So one option is to move it 1 to 3, all meetings, keep it on the fourth Tuesday.
Except for December, it on the second Tuesday.
Yeah.
The third.
Anyone have a conflict in that?
I have a weekly 1 o'clock meeting.
Pardon?
I have a 1 o'clock meeting every Monday. That's all, but I can make arrangements if I'm the only one.
Okay. So we would maintain the current date schedule, but move the meeting from 1 to 3.
Yes.
Okay. How does everyone? Any comments? Do we need a roll call on that, Lauren?
I think you don't need a roll call, but you should vote, yes.
Okay. So all those in favor of having our meetings changed to the fourth Monday from 1:30, from 1 to 3, except for December, we will have it moved from the fourth Monday to the second Monday.
The third Monday, I think. Because we won't have a time conflict anymore.
I know I will. I may not be here on that third, but that's okay.
Okay.
I coach you.
Here we go.
B, can you repeat that?
Okay. So instead, our meetings would be still on the fourth Monday
of February, April, June, August and October.
And then it would, but it would be from 1 to 3. And then for December, we would move it up a week.
Yeah.
So it'd be the third Monday from 1 to 3.
Yeah.
For December.
And Chris Ritter has sent you placeholders for through the first 6 months of this year, but he will go through and change all of those and add in the rest of the year. He didn't put the whole year on because we anticipated possibly changing things. So you'll have it reserved on your calendar for months.
Okay. All of you.
Where did we land on December? Are we doing it earlier in December?
1 week earlier.
Great.
The third Monday.
Yeah.
Okay. Do I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Okay. All in favor? For discussion? All in favor? opposed? Abstained? Okay. We're good. Thank you for that. Okay, next we have rules and procedures, and Courtney's going to talk about that because evidently for following Robert's Rules of Order, since we're a small board, we can have less constraints, shall we say?
Yeah, less formality. So in theory, we've been accepting Robert's Rules of Order for the past several years as our rules and procedures, but we don't really follow them very closely. You're supposed to stand to introduce a motion and things like that, and we aren't doing those things. So, so Lauren has said, it's my belief that no one actually understands all of Robert's Rules of Order. So Lauren had proposed that we follow Robert's Rules for small boards because it basically has us make motions and we vote on things, but we can do it by voice vote and it doesn't need to be, we're reading through everybody's names and we have seconds and all of those things. It's a lot less formal. So
most importantly for you all, you wouldn't need a second, which I think would speed up your meetings significantly. And sometimes we forget.
Yeah. So since we're not following them anyway.
You wouldn't need a second?
Yeah. Just need a motion, I guess.
All right. So correct us when we do it wrong.
Is there any harm in having a second?
If you adopt this procedure, no, because you've just done a thing you didn't need to do, which is fine. But under your current procedure, yes, you need a second.
Okay.
Anyway, these are less formal.
Okay, not discussion? Yet. Anyone?
Not if we haven't been doing it anyway.
But of course we have been doing it all sort of along, completely. Where's the radio? Do we have a motion that we want to go with Robert's Rules of Order for small boards?
So moved. Nobody
second it. No, we have to second it until
we have to second
until
it.
Oh, yeah, you have to second it.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? So moved. Wow, we're really moving along.
Thank you.
Okay, consent. You're welcome. Consent agenda. Approval of previous meeting minutes.
So moved.
Okay.
We're done.
Well, we have to vote, right? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained. So moved. Financial statement.
So moved.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? God, that's going to be the hardest thing we do, I think. Okay, FY26 budget presentation, Courtney.
That's me. All right.
That other picture, by the way, on the lake with the little tiny kid. Look at that.
I know.
Is that cute, that little baby in there?
Yes, very cute. Not a real baby. Do know.
Not a real baby?
That's a baby doll, because otherwise that is not a safe... for a baby to be joined by itself. For the record, as we record this, no child endangerment has been.
Okay, this meeting is going down really fast.
All right. So here is the revenue detail from for this upcoming budget for FY 2026. For those of you who are newer to our board, and welcome officially Olivia Branch to our board today. We have our fiscal year runs from July 1st through the end of June. And so what we're looking at this point is the draft budget that would start July 1st. I'm going to present it today, but we're not going to move to approve it today. We would approve it at the next board meeting. We have to approve it by May. That's in our operating agreement. So you'll see that we have a slight increase over last fiscal year. There was a slight decrease from the cities, the TOT collection, but an increase from the counties, and then we anticipate our website revenue staying the same for next fiscal year. Any questions on the revenue detail?
Can you remind everybody which year's tax years this is actually coming from? Because it's not this upcoming tax year's estimates or last year's, it's actually two previous, right?
2 years in the past. So this is fiscal year 2026, so it's fiscal year 2024, which would have started July 2023 and gone through June 2024. Yeah.
And the reason, once again, for the decline in contributions from the city?
I am guessing that it is the opening of the Forum Hotel, kind of resetting what was happening in the city at the time. But I don't know that for sure. And I'm not going to have that kind of level of detail information.
Okay.
Which hotel, Courtney?
The Forum, the Kempton.
The Forum.
Okay. Yeah. That would have been what was new at that time. So that's the only major disruption I can think of that would have impacted the city in a negative way and the county in a positive way. So that's technically in the county. Yeah. Okay. Cool. All right. I sent you a number of confusing slides earlier this morning. So if you looked at them, bless you. And if you didn't, that's fine. Here is my finance expertise explanation. And if we need more detailed information, I will need someone from finance to explain. But the health insurance increase is because the county has been in the negative on the health fund for the past few years. And so there was a chart included in there that there was one bar in green where it had gone up and then four where it had gone down. This is because of increased costs. It was because there hadn't been contributions for a couple of years. And then we have the county's opened an employee health clinic on Pantops just as of a couple of weeks ago, I believe. Mm-hmm. And all of those things are contributing to the need to have some additional funds put in, both from the employer side of things, which is what you're seeing, and also from the employee side of things. So we will also be individually paying more into the health fund on our side. In addition to what you're seeing here, we're going to need to put aside a one-time contribution of $29,632 that you aren't currently seeing in this budget because I got that number last night. And that'll be a one-time infusion into the health fund. So what the health fund does is it's where when people have claims, that's where it comes from. The county is self-insured. And I don't know a lot more about what that means, but apparently that has a lot to do with everything I'm telling you. Mm-hmm. I promote tourism. That might be the end of my financial expertise, but I'll take any questions and then we can make note of them. And if I can answer them, great. And if not, we'll get back to you.
So I don't know if you are all aware, but the county has opened up we've opened up one clinic on Pantops. We're opening up another one on 29. I don't know exactly when.
It's a couple more weeks.
So this, what this does is it allows all employees to go to the clinic, their families. So if your child has a cold or something like that, runny nose, you want to get them checked out, but you don't have to go to UVA, you don't have to make an appointment with your regular GP or something like that, you can just go to one of the clinics, and everyone is, it's free, I do believe.
Well, it operates as any other medical facility, okay, so there's depending on what services you're
right.
receiving.
But you can get services, limited services. But you can't get services, so it's really going to be a big benefit since we are self-insured. It helps us also to control costs. But there is an initial contribution and some ongoing monies also. But I think it will be very well accepted by all the employees because we have in the county we have over 800,
and there's over 3,000 individuals on the county's health plan.
Right, so that would be with families,
school division, and families.
School division, families, and everyone. Yeah.
And where is it located
on? On Pantops on Jefferson Parkway. Yeah. Yep. And one of the you go up and it's the one.
It's one of the medical offices.
Yeah,
buildings.
One of the medical offices.
To the hospital, and it's right on the first floor of one
right.
of those buildings.
Right.
That's great.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
And the one across from UBA.
It's number 600.
Yeah.
So it's if you're coming from 250, it's on the left. That's the 600 section. We go back in there.
It's the second left when you go up towards Martha Jefferson. The
600. Yeah. My former primary care physician was back there.
Okay.
I remember walking into a building. There's Martha Jefferson over here, and then there was UVA over here.
Yeah.
But that must be a different building.
I'm not sure.
So, and I asked Courtney to give a layman's term explanation of the slides we received, because I'll be honest with you, I read them all and understood zero. So I said, you've got to give us an explanation of what all this is about. County did that, so I apologize on behalf of the county.
To clarify the 29,000, do we leave that to be based upon the number of employees in your unit?
Yes.
Per person share, so to speak?
Yeah, it's either the number of employees or it's the share based on the percentage of how many employees we have versus how many the county has overall.
And so all other county departments are getting the same methodology.
They are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and partner agencies that use the county as a fiscal agent. Yes.
And so that's not in that 151.
Correct.
But it needs to be accounted for.
Yes.
But it's a one-time deal.
Yes.
So would we put it in a separate line item for clarity, or would
we'll need to.
Note it?
Yes.
Because next year we're going to wonder why it went down. We're going to hope it's going down, right?
Yeah, we did end up doing a one-time infusion this past year. I'd have to ask Kathy. It was $5,000, so it was a much lower fee. So we had anticipated, we had written a little bit into the budget to provide for cushioning for like about the $10,000 mark. So Kathy will need to go back, and Kathy's our finance person, for those of you who haven't met her. We'll need to go back and make sure that this is correct, because we hadn't gotten that number and we weren't sure where it was going to land. So it might be accounted for to a certain extent here, but it definitely isn't fully accounted for.
That was going to be my question. I'm not a mathematician, but I read the slides and it said it should have been a 26% increase. 26 on 108 or whatever is not 151.
Okay.
So I thought maybe some of that one time was actually in that number.
It might be, because we were anticipating something. We just didn't know what.
Yeah.
So we'll tighten this up and make sure that it's where it needs to be.
If possible, I would suggest the one time be a separate line so it's nice and clean.
Yeah, we can do that.
Good idea. Mm-hmm. Any other questions? Okay. You don't need any kind of approval on that. Director's report?
I'm not quite done.
You want to go through the rest of it? I'm sorry. Excuse me.
There's one more slide.
Okay. I did not know. Sorry.
And I don't usually make notes, but I do want to make sure that I don't lose track of that.
Right.
So the rest of the expenditures, I think, there are two more slides on this. These are the marketing related expenditures, so the bulk of the additional funds goes to advertising and marketing. Our website, as you can see, is more than paid for by the revenue that we get from it, which is wonderful. We have, we're not anticipating additional printing costs. This is a thick, hefty guide, and that's been great for getting some really robust information out, but we anticipate slimming that guide down for next year and having it not be quite so robust. So that's why we're thinking we'd be at about the same printing costs. Postage continues to go up, so that's why it went up. Our research is going to go down. I'm not positive we're going to use all of that $30,000 either, but I wanted to make sure that we had enough room as we are starting to collect data on our midweek study, that we had room in our budget to allow for additional research if we need it. We'll talk a little bit more about the investments we've made in doing that research so far later in the presentation, but if you want to talk about it now, I'm happy to do that too. And just so you know, we aren't using all of the $75,000 for this year in research that had been reserved for an anticipated TID conversation. Anytime we don't use those kinds of funds or any funds we're in excess over, we put them into advertising and marketing. So we will be doing that with those additional funds and getting those spent in the next couple of months. Non-local travel, the hotel costs continue to increase even more than the flight costs, so that's part of the reflection that you're seeing here in the increase. Most of the travel is for trade shows, and some of it is for educational reasons for our team. Dues and subscriptions are a good chunk because everything that's a marketing subscription is included. So all of our planning, our scheduling for our social media. I'm trying to think of what else, and I'm looking at Brantley, what else we've got.
Our UGC.
User-generated content, platforms, other things like that. So they end up being $5,000 approximately, but we have a handful of those that add up.
And you don't anticipate an increase?
No. So far, so good. We have contracts for most of them that span several years because the way that we have to procure things is that it's competitive. So this is a good question, though. They do all increase if you don't have a contract. Okay. Any questions on the marketing related?
Yeah. How much is like just the paid tactics piece of that that first line? What's your technical ad budget?
That's the paid piece. It's the biggest chunk of that.
Yeah, but do you know what percentage of it that would be?
I don't have an exact percentage off the top of my head.
I would say the only major expenses that are coming out of there are the trade show costs.
I would say at least 80%.
Yeah.
Is paid media.
Yeah, because we don't have an agency on retainer, so mm-hmm. we do it all in-house, which means that
you have to pay for
it's going
yeah.
straight to advertising.
It goes straight to advertising.
Mm-hmm. I have a question regarding non-local travel. You said some of that is also for training of
yes.
the staff. Do you have people coming in here to train, or do they go out?
We attend conferences.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes, we aren't paying for other people to come here. If we do pay for, let's say, a journalist to come here, it would come out of the advertising and marketing budget.
Got it.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Question?
Oh, sorry.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep. And then these are the administrative expenditures. So some of these things we have control over and some of them we don't. The IT software, so you saw marketing software and the marketing budget. The IT software is the software that we need to use through the county for our timesheets and things like that, to our procurement software. We also pay for IT support on top of the GF admin charges at the very bottom is the percentage of our budget that goes back to the county to serve as our fiscal agent. So they get 2% of our budget regardless of what our budget is. And then the IT software and IT support go back to the IT department with the county to cover those things. The professional services is the audit. The county got a new auditor last year, and the expense came in at $5,000, so we are anticipating that amount again next year, which is why that has been decreased. We had had more in the machinery and furniture category as we moved into this space this year. And now that we're here, have these beautiful tables, we're not going to buy them again, and so that amount decreased as well. Janitorial services, that we didn't have clarity on who was cleaning the bathroom, and so that went up. That's the us cleaning one of the bathrooms for the year. And
what's included in the CACVB software, because that's the biggest increase?
Yeah, and then that's that is a categorization that the county has done. That is a little bit different than the way we had done it before. So all of that, those expenses were in marketing before, and now they're in CACVB software. So it's just how they're tracking. Anything that's digital, the county is now tracking as software.
So will that be every year will be that amount?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, so that you won't see that jump again.
Okay.
Courtney, can you go back to screen?
Yeah.
All right, so your non-local travel, you said that's conferences and things like that?
Yes.
So what's the difference between that and the next screen where you have education and training?
That is paying for the actual training. And then the non-local travel is getting to and from and staying and eating.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. And I had mentioned, I mean, bringing people in, would that be less expensive because doing...
I mean, it's hard to replace going to like a tourism conference where you're seeing your colleagues.
Yeah, not all conferences, but
yeah.
If it's a specific training type thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think most of what we do, we try and all go to different things so we can bring back different information for our whole team. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm not sure that's easily replicated.
Okay.
Yeah.
Pick up all those awards.
Well, you know, somebody's got to be there to get them. Any other questions or concerns before I would present mostly the same thing in April and hope that it was going to pass then. So anything that we want to talk about, now's the time.
So also, if you have questions at any point in time, you can also contact Courtney.
Of course, yes.
For more in-depth.
I don't know if that's the right time to ask this question or not, but is there an update on the TID and why that money came back out of the budget? Did I miss that? I forget what that was for originally. Is now the right time to talk about that?
Yeah. We are not allowed to pay for Civitas to do the TID process for us.
Which is a change. We thought we could.
We thought maybe we could.
We can't.
Yes. Mm-hmm. If we were going to pursue the TID, this board needs to decide to vote to go in that direction. And then needs to make a presentation to City Council and to the Board of Supervisors to get them on board for us to move forward past that point. I haven't heard that we have an appetite to do that as a group. So if at some point we do and we vote to move in that direction, then that's the process that we would be going through.
So, but that's not a representation of a lack of or... an appetite for it. It's purely a function of we're not allowed to pay for that, so it has to come from somewhere else.
Yes.
Okay.
Or, I don't think that's it. That'll,
if, go ahead.
If we want to, we can, we just have to go through all of the steps you just outlined.
We cannot pay for Civitas to do, like, the community building part of it. Like, we can't have them, pay, like, the county saw it as lobbying. To try and bring people on board to establish a tourism improvement district. So we cannot use government funds to lobby. And that was the county attorney's interpretation of how we would proceed with that. And Lauren, if I am misspeaking at some point, okay. We could use funds to create the ordinance language. But it, again, the county attorney thought that if Arlington establishes theirs or if there are other ones that are available, that it would essentially be a waste of our funding to pay for that when the county attorney could probably draft something. Again, that's accurate, Lauren? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I can FOIA that. And it's also public, you know, ordinances once they're passed. So, and we felt that we can probably just write it.
So I don't have the appetite and or the hours, man hours available to take this on. And so I've run out of steam at this moment, personally, just being transparent. It's unfortunate because it means we're just status quo at this moment with some of the things we talked about. Unless there has been discussion about another group could technically pick this up and run. It does not have to run through this organization. So if the hotel group wanted to get together, they could, if they could find the funding, and the would start its own 501c3 or whatever it would be to manage it and execute the TIV. That would be super unfortunate, I think, because then you'd almost have competing agencies, right? You'd have CBB and the separate. So I just think we need a little more time to talk through it and figure it out, the best path forward.
Alternatively, the board, sitting county board, could change the formula and grant more money.
That.
If we're talking about Scott, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the TID is about more money for marketing.
Certainly.
So the city and county could adjust the agreement to allow the first 6% of the TID.
Or right.
We're currently at 5. Or,
sure.
Change the formula to allow more.
That's right. That would be the easy. Well,
that's the
easier side of ours, but not on the other side. Yes.
What are you looking at me for?
You're the only one from that side. Mom didn't decide to show up.
Excuse me.
And at any rate, the staff is not empowered to be able to move this forward in any of those ways. We cannot lobby the localities, so we cannot lead the conversation. So,
is that something that Jeff and Sam could talk about, either
discuss?
Talk about.
Yeah. Any change to the agreement would come from...
Right, from the board or from the city.
They put it on the agenda for discussion.
Right.
There'd be a lot of lead up to that.
Right.
Getting everybody on board and understanding. But that's an alternative method to get to the same thing.
Yeah. I wouldn't object to that. Yes, sir.
If the... I hear what you're saying about a whole other group could do it, and then if we end up with these competing budgets, right, that are trying to do the same thing in two different places.
You could, but you could also align them.
Does moving the conversation forward have for the CACDB's budget have to come from this board, or can it be any community member could theoretically go through that process? Like, does it have to be somebody here pushing that agenda forward, or...
No,
other people in the community that cared about making that happen, and or is it have to be one of us that does that?
Yeah. Is your question?
It could be anybody.
Your question is just, can you go to the board of supervisors and the city council and lobby them to change the formula?
No. I'm not talking about the formula. I'm talking about the TID. Getting that conversation pushed forward, does that have to come from this board? Or can it be anyone could push that conversation forward in theory?
Yeah, probably.
To the like with the same outcome in mind.
Yeah.
It still has to be approved by both boards for it to happen. Mm-hmm. But Fred Smith could bring it.
We're just assuming, are there other people outside of this conversation that actually know that this was even on the table?
Yes, I think there are, and there could, and some undercurrent discussions outside of this, there are people that I think would be willing to possibly step up and carry it.
It's just a question of whether or not they would want to carry it for the purpose of bringing that into this organization's budget.
Or exactly.
Got it.
And are we talking about the $75,000 for Civitas? Are we talking about...
I think we've laid that one to rest because we can't use that, but the whole, the whole process. Yeah.
Right. No, but I mean, okay, so even if it increased with the city and the county adjusting that percentage, we still couldn't use that money to pay Civitas.
Right.
No. Okay, got it. All right.
That ship sailed.
Yeah. And we wouldn't need it if we were just adjusting for it. We wouldn't need Civitas.
Right.
Okay. Anything else?
You didn't really speak about it, but I'm assuming there's some kind of increase for staff embedded in one of those numbers.
Yeah. And it's consistent with what we think that the Board of Supervisors will increase, which is somewhere in the neighborhood of 2 to 5. I think it's more closer to 2. I'm not sure how public their number is. That's why I'm hedging.
We don't know yet. We haven't gotten the budget.
I think Jeff proposes the budget on Wednesday. Yeah. So.
Yep.
So but we are in communication with the county and on the same rate that the county is on. Yeah. Yes.
All right. Any other questions? Any other comments?
I don't think so. I mean, we are making more plans based on this budget and this budget breakdown to start tackling the strategic plan, which we haven't just passed in October and just left, but it really starts in July. So trying to make sure that we're working towards the goals of that strategic plan. And that's, Russ had suggested that we align it that way so that we were able to approve budgets ahead of getting into the strategic plan, which was a good call. So as I go into the rest of the director's report, I'll be showing some of the ways that we're doing that already. But that would be, those are the additional comments I want to make, but I have them prepared for the rest of the part. So if we're good to go, I'll keep going into the director's report.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you have anything else, I do, as I said, want to pass that at the next board meeting. So please do reach out between now and then if we can, because our bylaws say we have to pass it by the beginning of May, and we'll only have a handful of days at the end of April to get that done.
And remind me, I didn't read ahead through the handouts that Chris sent out. You usually give more of a breakdown of the sales and marketing number, because that's the biggest number of your budget.
Yeah.
Is that happening today, or is that happening at the next?
That's going to happen at the next one, because we were waiting for the county numbers have been a little.
Okay. And the slides that were sent out to us previously,
yes,
those are going to be redone so that they're understandable a little more.
I don't know
a lot more.
Do we need additional detail on the county's decision making for the health fund? Because that's really what it was, is a justification from the county for that information, which is why I had distributed it. I guess if you have questions on the health fund and how about the increase outside of making sure that it's the correct number and percentage, which we've noted, then send those to me and I will work through my contact with finance to get you the answers.
Okay.
But I don't intend to show those slides or talk through them.
Yeah.
I'm not really equipped to do that.
I would just say, no, I mean, I don't think we need any more clarity. I think the only thing I question is 25% plus increases sustainable for most? Are others seeing that kind of increases in your health policies? I mean, like annually, 25%?
Not 25, but yeah. 15?
Yeah.
And we can also have someone from the county address us at our next meeting to explain those slides.
Because at what point do you go shop it again, right? Or like, I mean, I know we're internal to the county, but do you go out and see what private plans are available? Or
Donahoe we did, and in December we got a true up of, I think it was $180,000. It's different scale, but same thing. It was like a 15% increase, and we realized that the health fund was underfunded every month. So, yeah, the cost, the healthcare costs are just skyrocketing. Yeah.
The rationale behind, I don't have the full, I can't step through all those slides, but the rationale on the healthcare clinic is, one, it's just a nice benefit for employees, but two, it's supposed to help control those cost increases. So the first year, this is the launch year, there's no savings appreciated in the first year, as you can imagine, but starting year three onward, there's supposed to be a bankable cost savings associated with that. So that's one of the major ways that the county is trying to get a handle on keeping those costs from being such a huge increase.
Yeah.
All right. Our Tourism for All conference, it was going to be a couple weeks ago, and it is tomorrow. Luckily, we have a former meteorologist on the team who told us to go ahead and reschedule that 5 days in advance, and I appreciate him. So it will be tomorrow. We're excited about it. We have been able to maintain the level of attendees who have signed up, which is great, and also graduating our cohort. I made a presentation to the National Park Service on outdoor recreation accessibility a couple weeks ago. One of the projects that we have talked about with the strategic plan is the rebranding, and so we've already put that out for bid. It is in the process of... we have reviewed bids or quotes, really, because it's a request for quote. It's a maximum of $100,000. So everybody who's in that knows that that's the maximum the contract can be. And then we'll be interviewing people next week, our contractors next week. So we should have something done by the end of April, or by the end of March, by the beginning of April. We've also put out for request for quote for a short-term rental data procurement. So this is our way of figuring out what's going on with the short-term rental market in Charlottesville and Albemarle County. The city and the county track it, but they track it in a way that is not as useful to us. So we want to be able to say, oh, we see, you know, the inventory increase on a football weekend and then it goes away for the rest of the time. Or, oh, it's open all the time. Because we get the question frequently, and especially from the city and the county, do we need more hotels? And my answer has been, I don't think so. I think what we have is a short-term rental inventory that opens up when we need more rooms and we can't house it and closes back up when we don't need that. But it's a theory and we don't know it for sure. So we're hoping that we're going to be able to get more data on that. That'll also help us see if it's hitting our midweek occupancy, which is part of what we're supposed to be studying in the next 3 years. So I asked for 365-day data so that we are able to look at that. And we also have that for STR through CoStar. So we should be able to line those things up and find some patterns. So that's my hope there. We also have an integration of CVENT and Destinations International's Economic Impact Calculator into our website, the back end of our website for the Customer Relationship Management System. For those of you who aren't familiar with CVENT, CVENT provides a way for meeting and event planners, but primarily meeting planners, to put out bids to hotels directly. This is giving us, by paying into the system, this is giving us an idea of understanding better what's coming in, what we're booking here, and what we're not booking here, so we have a better understanding of what's working and what's not working. It also, the event impact calculator allows us to assign a number to the economic impact of those meetings and things that are coming through. So I haven't given you any slides on this because we're really early in the process, but Teresa and I are in close touch to make sure that we, when we have some fun information to share, that we will have a future board meeting where we dive into that a little bit deeper than we have so far. I've also been involved with a couple of different regional tourism planning meetings. There's not a whole lot going on in that space other than a desire to work together regionally. We work in economic development through Region 9, and that the Go Virginia Region 9, which is Fauquier down to Fluvanna, over to Orange and Madison approximately, and they've expressed interest in also finding ways to promote tourism together. We had a meeting on Friday with all of the jurisdictions that touch Shenandoah National Park as well, and trying to find ways to promote that asset together and also support the park. The park is down 14 employees for what's about to ramp up for a busy year, and with no anticipated replacements for those folks.
That's from the federal government?
Yes. So we anticipate the park having some issues with getting long lines backing up and managing visitor expectations and visitor behavior, and we want to be good stewards to them. So we were talking to the Shenandoah National Park Trust. The superintendent for the park was supposed to be there on Friday, but he didn't make it. But we're hoping that we're able to find alternatives for visitors who might want to come in, or peak times when people would try to be entering the park, so we can give good visitor data to folks. All right. Coming soon, I have said a couple times, I'll say it again, we're going to finalize the budget at the April board meeting. We will provide more detailed information at that time as to how we intend to use the budget. We also distribute an operations plan. It's called the public document. If you've been on the board before, you've seen me send this out. It's our justification for being to the localities, and we send that during budget season, even though the year isn't complete, because we like to make sure that we share what we're doing and why they continue to fund us. So that is in draft form right now. We need to have the budget closer before we're able to distribute that. I have a couple of ideas for some board projects that I wanted to tease out to this group, and if you're interested, you can let me know. We haven't looked at our bylaws since I've been here. We have redone the operating agreement a few times, mostly to deal with the composure of the board. And we've updated the bylaws to reflect the operating agreement so they're accurate. But we haven't really taken a look at the bylaws. And so I think it would be great to have a couple of people do that. If it's two board members, it doesn't trigger a public meeting. If we have a lot of people who are involved, then maybe we would just take that into this as an entire body and look at it in that way. I have floated this one before and not gotten a lot of interest, but we do have industry speakers who come in, and it is usually people that are myself and my team we're interacting with, who we know have something that they'd like to say to the board. I know that we have a lot of people who have a lot of connections on this board, and I would love to see you all invite people in to speak and educate us as well. So would love to partner with a couple of board members on that, and or update the board job description of what you all, you know, expect that you want to do as a board member and what that looks like. There are things that you have to do by being on the board, such as passing a strategic plan and passing a budget. And so I make sure that I keep us on track with those things. But I think really, you know, what you all want to bring, and I know we have a lot of smart people around this table, and I'm not sure that we're always leveraging that intelligence. And I would love for the board to give me some ideas on better ways to do that. And finally, on Thursday, we have a really busy week this week, but on Thursday we'll have a drive workshop with Virginia Tourism that's focused on history and accessibility. That gives us access to a $10,000 grant, which we hope to use to bring a fam tour here for the media. So that is coming later this week.
Comment the history.
Mm-hmm. So this is anticipation of the VA 250th. So the 250th birthday of the country is 2026. We'll talk more about that in a minute, but that's what it's based on. Yeah.
Any other questions regarding on this slide? Because I wouldn't mind seeing the mandated things, and you're talking about the bylaws up there, mm-hmm. but the mandated things, but then an opportunity for actually each one of us to just be able to email you and say, hey, you know, this is something I'd be interested in, or maybe this is of interest to the rest of the board. Do we have a couple people that want to take the bylaws? That would be separate from someone, to a couple people taking on the bylaws, or do we want to do it as a group?
I would be happy to spare us editing a document in a group. I would welcome a partner.
Okay, do we have two people that would love to?
What's your deadline for that, Courtney?
It's not a hard deadline. You know, I would love us to be doing it and then, you know, next little bit, so we're not just dragging it out forever and ever. But I think coming up for a plan with a plan for a deadline, we could, if Emily's comfortable with it, propose a deadline on next board meeting.
And how many pages currently?
It's not that long.
I can tell you if you give me a minute. Yeah. It's a real definition for not that long.
That's a really good question, Andrea.
Six pages,
guys. That's doable.
Thanks.
Okay.
Thank you, guys.
Andrea? Okay. Anyone else?
Maybe.
Once we get past two, then when it triggers a public meeting.
Oh, right, then. Right. That's why.
That's where I'm at.
Okay.
But nice to know you read it.
It would be two plus Lauren.
Found it.
I imagine we'll need Lauren's guy.
Okay.
Yes.
Did Olivia say she wanted to volunteer?
She wanted to do the speaker, I think.
Oh. Okay. Anyone else on the regard on the bylaws update? So we have Andrea and anyone else?
Emily.
Yeah.
Emily?
Yeah.
Oh, you are. Okay.
Yeah,
Emily. Okay.
Yeah, we're good.
So we have two people doing that.
Yeah.
I thought you were trying to get out of it.
No. I'm trying to, like, I don't want to do it alone.
Oh, okay. Got it.
That should not be.
Okay. Right. And then regarding speakers list, we have Olivia. And then anyone else, just like I said, if you would send us, these are mandated things and some of the things we've done, and then what else would you like to see?
Okay.
Can you expound on that a little more? Like, what does you want, you are interested in us for, I don't know, suggesting speakers to you?
Yes.
To speak at this group?
Yes.
About?
Whatever is relevant to tourism that you know about. Yeah, so for example, we've had like County Parks and Rec come in, and they were telling us about what was happening, and that was surprisingly a really like engaging session because it's
great.
Not yeah. We've had like I think Phil from the escape room came into the December board meeting. I don't invite somebody to this meeting because this meeting has a lot of junk we have to get through. I mean, really intricate processes we have to meet. I don't usually have an industry speaker fit, so that's for five meetings a year. We've had Universe come in. It's just a whole bunch of different people.
What would be the process? Just emailing you?
Yeah.
Contact the website kind of thing?
Yeah, I mean, or you could, if we have a couple of people, if you want to do it, hey, send me some leads, that's great. If you want to have somebody, a couple board members who are thinking about it over time and curating lists, we usually have an ongoing list, and we go, we had somebody from a hotel speak last time, so we'll have somebody from a different sector speak the next time. So we're trying to not have duplicative content every time that we meet. But it's also a way of introducing people to this board for future board members to come. I like people to come in and have experience with a board meeting before we invite them to the board, if it's possible.
Okay.
Just a random, I also feel like there's some times where it's like just helpful to know, like, get an update from UVA and what's happening with everything that they've been working on. Get an update. Like, we talked about the airport. Like, there's got to be a list of topics more than people that I feel like this group could benefit from hearing from. If we have to actually go find who those people are, we can do that. But I feel like there's probably some of those big picture, like, just it would be good to get updates on this, 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 and this.
That would be great, too. Sounds like you want to work with Olivia on this.
And how about hearing from the industries in the county that provide the most revenue? You know, for example, wineries, restaurants. What else is there that provides a lot of revenue? I always say restaurants because I don't cook, so, you know, that's a fair amount in my thinking. But, you know, the larger industries that affect us, maybe the BioHub, we're doing a big opening on the BioHub. maybe Rivanna Station. I'm what's happening in the
Emily's
city.
Got a really great presentation.
Oh, thanks, Brad.
Ready to go.
Well, we can
I sat
that
through
way.
It. It was really good. Just got to bring in some friends with her, though.
Yeah.
Innovation stuff is happening.
Okay. Maybe something like if you. Yeah, that would be great.
I think that's all, some of that's in line with what Brad was talking
right,
about.
Right, yeah, exactly.
These bigger picture yeah. drivers yeah. to the tourism yeah. and economic development.
Exactly,
and
yeah. yeah.
And especially people who aren't represented around the table, it's really helpful to hear their perspectives too. Yeah.
Right,
but
exactly. Okay.
We can get something started and then we can share it out.
On a rebranding
yes.
piece, I don't know if the firm would be up for that or they do CBB type brand refreshes or rebranding, but Goodrich, who we used for the Virginia Guest House,
okay,
super good,
okay,
super affordable,
cool,
in our opinion,
okay,
affordable is, as we all know, is relative.
I'm always looking to the foundation for affordability,
but yeah. But they were awesome, and they've cool. done a lot of the local work, right? Like digging into UVA and Charlottesville to feed into that brand, and so they might not have to do a lot of research, which could save costs, right? In
cool.
the total grand scheme of things, they might be somebody to talk to
look it up.
If they didn't sniff out the RFP already. But.
And I'll say that since we just did a tourism master plan and we just did a ton of research, we're asking the firms to leverage that research, which is keeping the costs under $100,000, because otherwise they would be north of that.
For sure.
Yeah.
That RFP's out there now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyone else?
All right.
Next one.
Cool. Hotel occupancy rates, this reflects through the end of 2024. We are seeing it be trend a little bit more seasonal, seeing, you know, the highs a little bit higher sometimes and the lows a little bit lower in occupancy. We had a pretty decent January. I always get those numbers right before this meeting, which is too late to distribute them. But I imagine that has to do with VDOT more than it does.
Yeah, I mean, January downtown, I mean, I know we had the best January on record.
Really?
Since the property opened. Yeah. The weather played a big part in it.
Mm-hmm.
And then all the hotels, the cluster of hotels that are downtown, really benefited from the storms. Whether it was with facilities and maintenance, hospital, because again, the hospital stays open,
mm-hmm.
and everything that revolves around the hospital, the lab, you know, like all of those services have to remain open whether there is weather or not. And those employees, I mean, they must get accommodations. Most of them also live on the outskirts of town, mm-hmm. so whether it's deep in Albemarle County, or even, you know, like Waynesboro,
mm-hmm.
Where actually commuting would affect their ability to be on the shift or not. So,
okay. So because of the storms that yes. increased the
so that really kicked it off pretty good, and then the sports, a lot of teams with, you know, the basketball and. Swim and dive.
Awesome. Yeah.
But I think that's my take is that's kind of a one-off. The
right.
trend is not
right.
Oh,
that not yeah. good.
I agree.
Probably.
Yeah.
Down a notch.
Yeah. I mean, otherwise we're seeing a lot of seasonality.
Yeah.
Yeah. The rates are going to be, you know, kind of inversely. have an inverse relationship with the occupancy rates. So we are seeing, you know, our rooms continue to be expensive. And then our revenue per available room is sometimes above and sometimes below and coming out pretty darn close from 2023 to 2024, depending on your property. So for budgetary purposes, I'm not really anticipating us having an increase in budget for the next little bit. I think we'll probably be about the same. So just for what that's worth. Any questions on those? I did look at whatever forecasting data I could get into in CoStar, since we have a new account with them, or we're on the county's account with them now, and kind of looked at the market sale price per room, and you'll see that it's been through a little bit of change, and it is anticipated to be about roughly the same as where it ended up at the end of 2024. We anticipate the Virginia Guest House coming online, but I'm not sure that we have anything else that's that close to in the works at the moment. I'm looking at Emily and Chris, but...
So that small hotel, Fort Wayne.
Which one?
Stay from Bergmar.
Oh, right.
Like 80 rooms.
Yeah. And extended stays are sometimes good and sometimes not great,
right,
for us, because if you stay past... Once you stay past 29 days, it no longer generates the transient occupancy tax. So extended stays are nice and also not nice when they join the market for us.
Can we extend that?
No, I'm pretty sure that's a Virginia state law.
Yeah, I figured.
Yeah, okay. Marketing PR, continue to be busy. When Sabrina came on board a few months back, she conducted an audit of all of our social media channels and crafted a strategy for 2025. And that also reflects in our content calendar for 2025. The purpose of planning that the marketing calendar is so that we know where we're going, we're making sure that we're covering our partners equitably, but we're also able to share that with our partners to go, hey, we have this thing coming up in this month. Can you give us content on that, especially if they're content experts? So as we are getting more sophisticated in how we're able to take in that information, that allows us to serve our partners better and also allows us to track how we're serving our partners so that we can say, you know, they're like, well, you haven't featured us in 5 years. Like, actually, we featured you in this blog post and in this social media posts and things like that. So that helps us be held accountable and spread the wealth. I shared the visitor's guide with everybody, so feel free to browse that if you haven't already. We launched a bigger spend with search engine marketing and paid social media campaigns with our selected vendor. They were the same vendor we had been working with previously, but they had to recompete that when we decided to put a bigger share of our budget towards search engine marketing, which was approved through this board, probably about this time last year. And we've been refreshing a lot of the content on our website. We distributed our What's New in 2025 media release. That media release is really important. Our media ask for that. Our media contacts ask for that. They get excited about what's coming, and we work really hard to work with our partners to figure out what is coming. What's New in 2025 also includes what was new in the latter part of 2024 and what might be coming up in 2026. So it's pretty extensive. And we placed nearly 120 million advertising impressions, so in 2024. So that was really exciting. We were getting some of those numbers together for our report to the localities.
Question. So we manage our own social media.
Yes.
But then we pay somebody to do paid social media?
They handle the paid part of that.
On our channels, but they do the paying. We don't just do that ourselves.
Yeah, well, they're able to place it and optimize it in a way that's, you know, of a greater sophistication.
It's far more complicated than you would expect.
Yeah, it's there are layers
to do those types
levels
of paid placements. Meta does not make anything easy. Mm-hmm.
And it goes beyond just like boosting a blog post. I mean,
sure,
it is deep, 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 like multiple layers.
So they have access to our social medias then?
Yes, they have access to place.
Got it.
Paid placements on our social channels, our Facebook and our Instagram only.
Cool. Any other questions on this? All right. Here's an example of the social media spotlight. I am not going to click and play it, but you will have access to it if you'd like. What's exciting is that when we have really engaging content, which Sabrina's creating a lot of it, we get a lot of our non-followers engaged. So that was what you're seeing here is, you know, nearly 80% of people who weren't following us. So that's a primary way that we're reaching new people at this point. We also see a ton of saves and shares. I don't save anything on social media, so that's always amazing to me that people want to save our content. But you're planning a trip, you want to know where you want to go. It's a great way to do that. And then the shares really kind of dips its toe into the earned media space, because you're basically having a friend refer your content on to somebody else that they already know, which is unusual to have that kind of content shared that way. So we're really excited about those things. We have done a lot of content highlights. This is a great example of how our two teams work together for destination development and marketing, doing a lot of the on-the-ground research and hearing about things and then turning that into content that answers questions in those areas. So you'll see a lot of romance because it was February, so we were ready for Valentine's Day here. And then the public relations efforts, a lot of really great coverage. We continue to get a lot of really great coverage from all sorts of national media outlets, which is really exciting. All right. Our sales overview. So we're lucky Teresa's here in person. She's often not. So she had 45 appointments at ABA. That is
a lot
of appointments. Those appointments are really quick and really exhausting. And to meet with 45 people who chose, like they also have to opt in to meet with us ahead of time. They're really, really excited. They're really, really excited about 2026 as well. So we'll get to that in a minute. And then we've had some site visits that have come through, and we're seeing a whole lot of things come through our new Cvent contract and some other things that are happening, which I lost my train of thought, sorry. All right, visitor services. We continue to have, you know, kind of ongoing hurdles with some of the Mobile Visitor Center activities. We do have this space opened up and a banner on our website when our Mobile Visitor Centers are not in person out because of weather. Because you'll see here the hurricane and also some extreme heat. So we now, we have somebody here at this office, and we advertise that we're here when on the days that we can't be out because of weather. We've been working through some of the, you know, vehicle inspection things, and we've got the timing on that better. And then we did do some longer haul. We talked a long time ago about having those Mobile Visitor Centers go out places. You can go to the Virginia Welcome Centers as a destination marketing organization and greet visitors for free. And so we arranged to do three of them. We were only able to do two of them. I can't remember what happened for the third. And that team is preparing for Tourism for All right now, so I don't have them in the room to ask. But that was a really great experience for our travel specialists, and we learned things from getting out of town, too. And we've made some adjustments here as well to focus more on taking advantage of the polo crowd at King Family, and we added an extra week of Winter Wander. So thank you to the Boar's Head for hosting us at the Winter Wander. That's been great.
Question,
yes.
Do we do anything? I know the police department has two events with the police and fire, putt-putt golf, and then the Halloween trunk or treat. And there are a ton of kids there. I mean, a lot of kids. And I'm wondering if it would behoove us, if that's something we'd want to consider, to have a welcome center there, because it gives parents, oh, this is something else I can do, you know,
yeah,
with my kid. Just wondering.
We focus on events where they're going to be visitors. So we don't do very many local events, but it's not outside the realm of possibility. We do partner with the university on a couple of their events that they do, especially mm-hmm. when the parents come to town, because we know they're going to keep coming back, and we want to make sure that they know all the ways that they can leave their money here, not just paying for their kid to go to school.
Okay.
But good to know.
Yeah.
Thanks. All right. I always think it's really interesting to know what people are asking our visitor services team, and it changes over time. And also the makeup of how many visitors we are reaching. So it's great that we have multiple nights and overnights. We're getting the bulk of visitors who are spending the night. We do get a lot of relocation requests for information, and we are not actively trying to get people to move here. I will tell you that. that is not a function of our organization, but we will give them a visitor guide or a map or things like that. A lot of people who have just moved here encounter us and they go, oh, we didn't know what we could do here, and could you help us with that? So that's a lot of the people that we talk to. I'll let you all browse these questions, but you know, a lot of wayfinding and a lot of navigating the downtown mall specifically are questions that we get. Any questions there? All right. And then this is what the numbers look like for the number of visitors that our visitor services team was able to reach this year in all of the different ways. It's great that people download the digital guide. You know, 1,000 digital guides saves all of that on printing and shipping costs. So I'm excited that people use the digital guide, but obviously the paper one goes a whole lot further and is more widely distributed.
On the previous slide, I know you're mentioning about like wineries and wineries near the, you know, Charlottesville, but a lot of them, the bigger ones, are in Albemarle County, and if they go there, then they get to see the beauty of Albemarle County.
Of course.
Especially the people that are visiting or new here.
Yes.
So it'd be nice to tell them to go out to these different wineries, which are, I don't know, Charlottesville. Do you guys have any wineries?
We do not.
No.
Okay.
No. So all of
you're getting all that business.
You're getting it all.
and that's good. And that's good. In my mind, I'm thinking, okay, someone's new here, and they go out to the wineries, and they see the beauty of Albemarle County, and that's a big. To me, that's a big plus. It's going to make you ask, well, what else is there?
Yeah, I mean, what you're not seeing reflected here is where they ask these questions, right? So if they're in 10 different spots,
right.
And if they're, you know, on the downtown mall and asking how far is a walk to UVA, you know, that's one question, right?
Correct.
And so they might be on the mall saying, how do I walk to a winery? And say, you don't.
Right.
this is you how
can't.
You do it.
You can't.
Yes.
You take your car and you go there.
Yeah. Or hire a driver so you can see them. All right. Cool.
What was visitation like, if you think about pre-MVC versus MVC, like, are the numbers, how do they compare to when it was just a standalone storefront on the mall?
It's a little less. The trend in tourism overall, though, is that people are not going to visitor centers. Mm-hmm. So I know that is partially because of our relocation process. Possibly, but it's also because people just don't seek them out.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why we are where the visitors are when we're out, because people aren't trying to find us most of the time. Mm-hmm. We get a trickle of people who come in. I think it's like 5 a week. I think that's what Rami and Ethan were saying on our team meeting last week. So, you know, you get the predictable demographic of people who are showing up wanting some in-person help. But it's a lot of taking the advantage of the opportunity, oh, you're at this big event, you might not know how close you are to X, Y, and Z, and making sure that we're connecting the dots for them. It's the point is to get them to spend as much money on that trip, but also to generate the next trip. So if they've come to town for a specific reason, like we're at Alumni Hall, and they come to town for football games, but they're only spending one night, or they're not spending the night because it's yet another noon game, then we're trying to get them reasons to spend the night.
Yeah, many DMOs don't have visitor centers, or they've closed them in the last several years, not just because of COVID or whatever.
And similarly, brochures are a legacy tactic now, too, because of how expensive the printing is, and people don't really want something to hold.
Yeah.
They want it on their phone, so.
Mm-hmm. Something to think about.
Yeah. I mean, that's why we're going to downsize the guide, but we still have a lot of folks who ask for them.
Yeah.
So,
right.
But we can use it in a better way. So the next guide will have, I'm looking at Brantley to make sure I'm not speaking out of turn, but QR codes to the website where you can find the detailed information and more of a a teaser guide, and then here's where you go on our website to find out more.
For sure. And we have ample QR codes sprinkled throughout this one, but we will be slowing it down quite a bit and relying more on that and just using it more as a driver to kind of to our website where people can also find that information.
Yeah.
How are you actually tracking that number? So 6976, is it with it? How are you getting that number?
We write down every single person who comes and talks to us in the Mobile Visitor Center.
Okay.
Yeah.
I assume it's probably also like brochure inventory. If you start out with 100,000 and you have X left.
Well, for the first number, those are humans we're interacting with.
Yeah,
but then,
yeah
the second number, brochure, we can do the math on it. But we still track it because we need to make sure that we're keeping up with the pace that it's going and all of that. Yeah. But a lot of, like, the contact us forms and the digital guide, you have to fill out a form. So it generates inside of our customer relationship management system so we can keep track of it. Cool. All right, destination development. So this is happening tomorrow. Pretty much in the way that it's outlined here, Charlottesville Parks and Rec was going to be there, but they're not going to be, so we're going to have Out and About come speak instead. But we are really excited that we have, I think probably at this point, pretty close to 120 registered. It is our one big gathering a year with our tourism industry. I'm excited to see how it goes. We're going to do an evaluation of Tourism for All after this conference to see what's working, what's not working, what's taking a lot of time that doesn't need to take time, and all of that. So if you do come or you have somebody on your team who comes, make sure that they fill out the survey because the surveys are going to be essential in helping us figure out the next steps of what we do here. But, something that continues to be the case is our industry really does love to connect and have an excuse to connect, and we do this at this time of year because it is one of the slowest times of year, and there's never a good time to do it. There's never ample time, but this is a better time than most, which is why I think we see such high interest, which is great. An update in outdoor recreation. We had the opening of Biscuit Run Park. We had a number of wins and runners up in the Best of the Blue Ridge for the Blue Ridge Outdoors Awards that they have. We continue to be at the table for the Rivanna Greenway Blueway discussions. We were asked by the county to participate in the three-notched trail planning committee. And Chris is going to do that on our behalf because he knows what he's talking about and I don't. For the 250th, Carlo's been working really hard to plug in our partners' efforts, especially in 2026, but a little bit beyond into what is promotable through the VA 250th website. The state is putting a lot of investment into that, or at least a lot of time and buzz around it. We do host the national conference in Williamsburg in March for the 250th, I know that Monticello attends that, as do a number of the important partners for this. We are working with Highland to bring the Mobile Museum here in 2025. I think that's the summertime. Yeah. Yes. Yes. So it would be the same time as the Albemarle County Fair. The library has been a great partner. We are also helping WTJU promote the Seaville Puzzle Hunt in mid-March. That's a really fun event that people come for. I used to live in D.C. when the Washington Post did their puzzle hunt, and it was a big attraction. And I've been on the downtown mall when the puzzle hunt is happening, and there's a lot of excitement. And then people veer off and start drinking and don't actually necessarily finish, which is great for our businesses. So whatever works, right? And then we are working with our wineries on 250th licensing and product promotion so that we have somewhere to point people who want to participate in that. The 250th also coincides with the 50th of the downtown mall, which is becoming a pedestrian downtown mall. So we are working with the city and have had a conversation with them and with Friends of Downtown on how we leverage that moment and the stories that we want to tell to try and drive traffic during 2026. We know that Monticello is on the map for the 250th, and we definitely want to drive people there, and we definitely also want them to spend the night and do more. So the more that we can tell them of things to do, especially city and county things simultaneously, that's what we do. So that's the update there, more to come. Then the 50th anniversary of the downtown mall and the 250th are also part of our strategic plan. Workforce development, we have a lot coming up in March. We used to do a career fair at each of the county schools, and I'm so pleased and excited that they've decided to partner with UVA and PVCC, so we are no longer doing a separate or multiple job fairs, and we are participating in the big one, which is great. We have had one previous conversation here with Coffees and Convos with Charlottesville. We're going to have another one at the end of March. It gets people who are looking for jobs into our space and lets them become familiar with who we are, and we just have it in here. It's a really light lift for us, but nice exposure to folks who might not know who we are. And then our young professionals on our team participated in the Young Professionals Program, talking about their experiences with us and what that's been like and to students, and that was really well received. We have had conversations with PVCC about starting Hospitality Track, and that was just, what, a week and a half ago or something like that?
Yeah.
We have a follow-up in March.
Yeah.
You want to speak to that at all?
No, it's just exciting. So the American Hotel and Lodging has certification tracks that people can do that get them really industry certs, whether it's hospitality manager, F&B manager, just different other certifications that really just elevate their education in our industry and get people to those certs. You know, depending on the program, anywhere from 70 hours to 90 hours, so really quick. And PVCC is really interested in making this a part of their Fast Forward program. So from a cost perspective, the state would cover 2/3 of the cost, and then either the employer or through grants, the student could have the other third covered. And I think it's like $3,600 total. So not a lot of money, so $1,200 either on the student or the employer to get them through these CERT programs, which gets them into higher paying trajectories within the industry faster. And so,
do the credits transfer to the JMU hospitality?
They don't, no. They're separate, yeah.
Any way to...
So the PVCC is talking about how to integrate that within their greater, you know, college credit programs, but right now this would be something completely separate.
It's great. It's great. I've been asking for it under Frank Friedman. I've been asking for this.
Yes. So there's an appetite to do it, and so we're jumping on it as quick as we can. So we might be reaching out to others that would be interested in possibly hosting classes, on-site classes or instruction, or just tours and things as part of the program.
We'll need instructors too.
And we'll need instructors, yes, to help as well. So, but PVCC is really excited about it, and so we're jumping on it really quickly to try and.
And what are they calling it?
We haven't gotten that far yet. there's another community college that's doing something on the Eastern Shore.
Yeah.
That's similar, and I think we can get the handout and possibly pass it around to this board, right? And you can see what we're talking about doing, but through PVCC.
Mm-hmm. That'll be good.
Yeah, and they had provided recommendations on the classes we should start with so that we could gain some traction before they try and provide all of them, which was really helpful. I can share out that that information, and it was going nowhere for a long time, and all of a sudden it's going, and this is really great. All right, and things that are upcoming for destination development, we continue to serve on the Ale Trail Board and participate with our craft beverage partners and their training. We are working on the calendar system update. Is we're moving from SceneThink to using our own functionality. We had used SceneThink since we had redone the website as a way of streamlining what partners had to do in order to have their events displayed locally, because lots of people use SceneThink, but SceneThink isn't serving our needs very well, and it's not coming through our website in a way that makes sense or looks very good, and so we're just going to take it in-house at this point, but we're making sure that we're advertising that to our partners so that they're ready for it. We're going to expand our partner portal as we've been developing more relationships with our partners. A lot of our actually, most of our information is extremely public, and it has to be, but also it would be nice to have something where we have an understanding of who's looking at all of our tours and master plans and our strategic plans and our occupancy rates and all of those things. I know we're a public entity and we're not going to deny people access, but it is helpful to understand who's coming in to look at what we're doing. And that's part of the reason we'd have it behind a partner portal. It also incentivizes people to keep their listings up to date as a good reminder. So we're looking to do more of that. And then we'll have a playbook associated with that so people know what to do and why. The Virginia Tourism Grants cycle is open right now. So we get inundated with requests for letters of support, which is a great thing. We're happy to provide. We also provide a decent amount of coaching for our partners to be more competitive in that space. I already mentioned that workshop, and we had updated the museums and history page as well as the event webpage. We are going to be developing an ambassador program. We'll tell you more about that the next time, but it will be based on our tourism master plan, which is called Destination 2045. It'll be 20 minutes of connecting on what we do as a CACVB and 45 minutes of networking, an hour essentially, but it's cuter as 2045. And then we'll be working on a food and beverage campaign for next fiscal year as part of our strategic plan. But we need a rebrand first. So that's where we are. And that's my presentation.
Okay. We'll move on to public comment or anyone with questions for Courtney. If not, we'll go on to public comment. Anyone from the public wanting to say anything? No? Okay. Board announcements.
Just going back to the budget. Sorry, I'm jumping back.
Okay.
I forgot that I wrote a note to talk about special event funding. I think we talked about that. And I know that for the last couple of years, we've done some grants through, some of it was ARPA-related funding, and then I think this past year it just came out of our normal budget, or no?
No. It's only been through ARPA funding.
Okay.
So there were two rounds through ARPA funding. One was broader, and then the second one we really narrowed focus down to like need times and like midweek business, and we had less money at that point, so we narrowed focus.
So just wanted to bring it up for the board to talk about. Right now, out of the budget, there is not specific line item for special event grants or funding requests that would come in. They do currently come in all the time to Courtney, but she typically says, sorry, we don't have the budget for that. The last couple of years we have, again, through the ARPA, and we've been able to do that. Personally, we've benefited from that for Winter Wander, and it's made a huge difference. And I know that others have as well for their different events. And I just wanted to bring that up as I think it is something, and it could be a small amount each year that we should consider with certain criteria that would be tightened up and outlined, what these events are doing, how they're driving tourism, you know, whatever the things are. But I think it would be something that would be really helpful to a lot of these different events that bring visitors to our area, and could make or break some of them. Just something for everybody to think about. Again, we don't need to talk about it now, but...
Well, it would be helpful to talk about it now if we're going to talk about it, because it's not currently part of what I would present at the April board meeting.
It would just be reallocated out of the sales and the marketing fund,
yes.
Right?
So we used to, when Kurt was the executive director, he would set aside about $200,000 out of what ended up being an $800,000 advertising budget. So about a quarter of our budget at that time was set aside for event sponsorships. We used it for events that were bringing visitors here, and we used it for fun. Events that were just happening here that weren't proving that they were bringing visitors here. I have a lot of opinions about it. I think it's a difficult thing to time, because, you know, depending on the event and whomever's putting it together, if you open it up once a year, then, you know, half of the people aren't ready for it. Which is why you'll see Virginia Tourism opening it up a couple of times a year to do things. But we also have a lot of people who have different definitions of tourism locally. So, you know, I think it in the past was a much too large part of our budget, and I don't think that if it's too small, it's also not doing anything. So trying to find a balance of how big it would need to be to have it be impactful and not overwhelm a budget that is already competitively smaller than it probably ought to be is a tough thing to do. But I do recognize that there is a need and there are ongoing requests for those things. And right now, when we are asked for that support, they need to come to this board and ask for support to move forward, similar to what we did with the fireworks. And we have a potential request from the university for an event that may or not happen at this point, which is why you haven't heard about it yet. But if it does, we have asked them that they would come here and make a presentation to this board of why we would financially support sponsoring that. But if there's an appetite on this board for doing it, then I would want to have an idea of what that looks like so that we're planning our budget that way for next fiscal year, and I can show that in whatever I present at the April board meeting.
Comments? Any?
I'll just make a comment that in the past it became one of these things where people become dependent upon it, and it really is hard to turn them off. So if we did something in the future, it would need to be real clear and specific that maybe it's one time or 2 years or something like that,
yeah.
Because Courtney alluded to the $200,000, and it was there, and it was all the festivals in and around town lined up for a piece of it, and it was really hard to tell them, because then they become dependent upon it,
yeah.
And you don't want to tell the festival it can't happen, but
yeah.
So that's a piece of it. I think the other piece is like the mechanism for rating and receiving and their staff time and energy. And typically there was a board, I think, that had to review things. Not a board, but a member or two from the board and some committee.
Yeah,
review.
I had a subcommittee review our ARPA funding. Yeah.
So it was not insignificant, and I think Courtney made the determination that it was more cost beneficial to the group to put all its eggs in the marketing basket and not one or two eggs over in the other. But as a board member, it's nice to be able to respond to people and tell them, yes, there's a program you can apply for. So I kind of see it both sides, but I think we have to be careful about some of the reasons that we don't have it if we think about it.
And we do provide like public relations support, and we can do blog posts, and we can do social media. Like, we do a lot of things for free for promotion. Just doesn't necessarily mean that we're handing over money. We have not yet, in the history of this organization, found a way to like get reimbursed, to reimburse people for the money. The money has always been given up front, which I also think is problematic, because you don't really know how it's being used,
right.
And that it's actually being used for visitor promotion, and that's, we would have to fix that mechanism, in my opinion.
Yeah, and you'd like to see the result before as well.
I think that the Virginia Tourism has a template that's good to follow, because for their reimbursement for events, you show that you spend, and then you support it with what zip codes was your marketing and what zip codes were your ticket buyers from. So there's things in play if we move forward with saying here's a reimbursement for your efforts. I think we have.
I mean,
that's when Lockheed Music Festival was here, and we got quite a bit of money from Virginia Tourism, but it wasn't until we proved. But we had zip codes from 50 states and 3 foreign countries, so we didn't have a problem with allocating where we had marketed.
And you could prove it. And I think what we've been told over and over again is many of our event planners here on the smaller scale cannot prove where things are coming from.
And we had hotel blocks.
Right.
From Lynchburg, Charlottesville, Stanton. We had 5 hotels, 6 hotels.
Was
with transportation.
Limited for marketing?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, we got the same through BTC. I mean, it was $10,000, and it's actually a lot of work
to actually
fill out all the forms, give the proof. I mean, it was like a full weekend for our director of sales and marketing to do it each year the last 2 years.
Yeah.
So the people have to be really committed to try and get that money. I mean,
and you also have to have a team who's ready to receive all that information and make sure that it's what it needs to be.
We worked with the Nelson County tourism people. We're so gung-ho. They pretty much carry the weight for us.
That's much better than cutting a blank check and prior to the event. I mean, I'll feel a lot more comfortable with that.
Yeah.
After the fact.
Yeah.
I think we should have a quick ad hoc committee to hash out what the parameters look like in a timely manner. So
maybe it's not this budget cycle, but I just think it's something to continue to talk about. Because it's right up the alley of what we're talking about, wanting to enable and help people create or do things that are bringing people to this area, right?
So in years 2 and 3 of the strategic plan, we have a placeholder for looking at how to distribute funds and how we prioritize that. So if we don't need to do it right now, we have it coming. And I think what we have to decide, and I'll do this as the teaser, is like, do we want to support more new things? Do we want to support growing things that we already have? Do we, like, what is the flavor of support? Because we really cannot do all of those things, and we can't do a maintenance of events over time either, and really have that return back to us, and make sure that also the CACBB is getting the recognition that it needs as part of that sponsorship package. So I had shared the rubric that I used for evaluating the event applications that came through as part of ARPA with Russ. I'm happy to share that with the board, and if you guys want to think about what we're doing, we can also work on it through our process and make recommendations back.
I think it'd be helpful for me to see, like, what are the types of requests that you feel?
Yeah.
And are they, and I think that gives us an opportunity to say, oh yeah, like, that would have been a good thing for us to do, or no, it seems like that none of that's a good fit for us.
Right. Okay.
Good point.
We'll try and come up with
that.
I was going to say, Susie has a lemonade stand to, let's bring $1 million festival here. So, like, anything you can imagine, we've been asked for.
That would probably be good for you to see that.
I don't know how we get all of that, but we will work on it in the next, not for the next board meeting, but the next couple board meetings. We'll get back to you. Yeah.
Okay. Any other board announcements?
Just a couple of updates. Okay. So the Birdwood Mansion that the board said is under construction and will be opening this fall. That is going to happen. at some point. Can't give you a date yet.
Is that events or lodging or both?
It's all of the above.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow, wow.
So seven, we'll be adding seven suites of inventory, so more POT.
Woo!
Yay, thank you.
at what will likely be very, very high rates, so since it's only seven suites. And it'll also have a restaurant, so meals tax into the county will be coming and events. And then there'll be, you know, cultural aspects of the history of we're working with the descendants of enslaved communities and working on telling the story of Birdwood and coordinating that back to UVA and
event space occupancy.
So interior is only probably 80 total max, but in the event lawn, upwards of 300 possible.
Wonderful.
So, yeah. That'll be great. And then the guest house is continuing along. We're probably looking at January of 26 for an opening. It is very soon. It'll be here before we know it.
Where's that located?
That's in the city. That's a city.
Come on, B. Throw a bone.
Got to balance out the kitchen. Yeah.
We slowed down to let you all catch up. If you look at the real numbers.
And then the only other thing is that there's I know some people have heard the rumors about an ice rink for some time, and that is a thing. It's out there. And there's lots of different discussions happening.
Old Browns Road? Ice rink or a different
on Brookhill or
I think where? That was the several of the different places. There was a group that's really interested.
Let's start some rumors.
Like a community based rink that the community can use, the UVA clubs could use. Like they have club teams right now that are traveling to Lynchburg and Richmond, I believe. And so there's an appetite for some donors out there that want to possibly build one. So they're looking at lots of different places. Some of them are on foundation-owned property, so we're involved very conceptually in some of those discussions. But we went and toured and talked to Lynchburg's Liberty University's people that run their rink, and it's super busy. And it's a huge community relations place, as well as they bring tournaments and drive tourism through it as well. So
neat. That'd be great.
Interesting.
UVA hockey.
Yeah, they have a club. They have a pretty serious club team, I guess. Mm-hmm. That's all I've got.
That's it.
As you all may have heard, Southern Living is doing an idea house.
Yeah.
In Federal Estates.
Yes.
Cool.
You know, they just completed the one in Charleston, and I forget how many, the thousands of people that came from outside of Charleston to go through the Idea House. But it's like 50,000 people will come to go through this house.
Can you say a little more about what an Idea House is?
Southern Living works with a destination, and then they bring in their top advertisers who happen to be housing design people. So, and it costs a lot of money to be the designer in a Southern Living design house because you're getting advertisement in Southern Living magazine and digital prints and everything. So, Charlotte Moss is going to be the designer. You all know Charlotte. Big books. Big books of she's the original Martha Stewart.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even put her in the same category. But Charlotte Moss is the designer. So I was hoping we would be able to have a little footprint with some of our local people, but they just don't have the bandwidth. So to go to Kitty Ball Antiques to say, we want you to do lamps. They need to be able to, if 50,000 people are coming through and everybody wants that lamp, we need to be able to sell that lamp. So it's your Pottery Barn, it's your really big name people that will design. Everybody gets a room, so the countertops, the refrigeration, the rugs, the everything is by a specific design group who has paid to be part of us. So.
How about the builder? Is it local?
It is. Architect and builder are local. I think it's Alexander Nickel. I think it's in, you go ground up. And it worked in Charleston really well because it was an entirely new development. So it was like that house and one or two other houses. So everybody came because they wanted to see the development, buy a lot, and go through the house and see the possibilities. We're kind of established. I mean, I think we'll have the exact same numbers, but.
Is the process kind of documented in the magazine too?
There will be. They do a lot. They've done the first drop of an announcement with an etching. I mean, the walls are up. It's on the roof.
So when's it going to be available for the tour?
It will open August 1, 2, 3. Move-in is scheduled for June. Maybe. You might know someone.
This is not the first one. There was another one.
15 years ago was Bunjorin.
I went to that. It's fun to go to.
They're
it's
amazing.
Really cool. Just go.
It looks like people live there, only they don't. Everything is brand spanking new.
Your spouse gets too many ideas.
Yep, that's what I was thinking.
What happens to that after?
Oh, it's on the market. Really high because it's got top of the line.
Everything.
Product.
All that
foot
traffic.
All of it. You have to put booties on.
So we're pretty excited.
That's great.
Be a big boost. Buses come in to do this.
That's incredible.
Planning lots of activities while they're here to do other sites and to stay, eat. We'll have hotel packages, the whole gamut.
Fireworks, since brought up last time, is moving forward. I think the contract's just about signed, and there will be fireworks on the 4th from the mountain over there for the community.
Okay.
From wherever you sit, it's not like a come to the mountain. It's a go outside and look up, dispersed kind of show. It should be good.
Is the city or any pockets of the community doing any organized type of like viewing locations with food trucks and face painting? And
TBD,
whatever?
Likely there'll be a few of those.
Okay.
Food line was packed last time on Avon Food Line. People walk because I don't think they were open.
They weren't allowing people in there.
But you can park and walk. One last thing on the design house. A portion of the ticket sales will be going to local charities.
That's great.
Cool.
Good. A big part of that. Local charities. So, volunteer groups that would like to work, your group will be considered for the charity.
And how long is it going to be open?
August through December 20th.
The entire really?
Thursday through Sunday.
We're going to have buses coming in. Wait, Thursday?
You live there. I can't talk to you because you live in the estate. Your homeowners association will have a presentation for you.
Well, if it helps tourism, I'm all in. But anyway, it's good. It's all good. Yeah, it's a big boost. I didn't know it was going to be that.
Park the buses at your house.
You can serve them breakfast.
But if you know groups that want to be considered for the charitable contribution, let me know.
Fire Rescue Foundation. I'll talk to you about that.
Please do.
And police too.
But they have to participate in order to...
They will do volunteer. They will work the shifts. And based on how many shifts you work, is how the contributions come back. And this is all not approved by me, but there are higher ups that will make selection of charities and things like that.
So if your organization is volunteering,
if they are one of the approved volunteers,
okay. Groups. And you'll know the approved group ahead of
yeah.
time.
Yeah. We're starting that list now. Mostly women, children, health, garden clubs, things
like that. Safety?
She's very, we'll talk offline.
Okay.
This is me with Brent.
Yes.
Okay. Never mind. Later. Anything else that from anyone? Okay, with that, we'll adjourn to March 24th at 1 o'clock. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah. April.
Oh, we're not. Why am I saying
every other March?
Every other.
You know what? I'm sorry. Correction. Okay. Excuse me. We will be meeting April 28th at 1 o'clock.